This episode of the Ottawa Entrepreneurs Podcast is brought to you by Extension Marketing, the marketing agency that specializes in unique needs and budgets of small to medium-sized businesses. They provide turnkey marketing solutions that get results. You can find out more today at extmarketing.ca. Now here's your host, Pat Whalen.
In this episode, I speak with David Gourley. David is the president and part owner of the Ottawa Champions Baseball Club. What makes David's story unique is that he maintains a full-time job and fits in his work with the baseball team around his busy schedule. I hope you enjoy the show. David, first of all, thanks for joining me and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Pat. Thanks for having me.
For those of our listeners that may not be familiar with yourself or the Ottawa Champions, can you tell us a little bit about the Ottawa Champions and the baseball team?
Sure, absolutely. So as you said, we're the Ottawa Champions Baseball Club. We started play in 2015. We're a proud member of the Canadian American Association League, which is a league that has teams across Quebec and New York and New Jersey. We're headquartered and we play at RCGT Park, Raymond Chabot Grand Thornton Park, right at the corner of Vanier Parkway and the Queensway and Coventry. We have about 100 games scheduled. And this is professional independent baseball. So we're getting players who are coming out of the minor league system and hoping to go back into professional baseball to play affiliated ball. And they're here playing in Ottawa to really prove that they still have the skills and the talent. And they're here to win. So it's a real win for us as fans. It's a win for our business. We're a growing business and we're very excited to be part of the Can-Am League.
And David, isn't there a current member of the Toronto Blue Jays roster that played in the Can-Am League for quite some time?
Absolutely. Chris Colabello, he's our star. We often get many questions about Chris. It's quite a story. It's funny to listen to some of the professional announcers talk about the Can-Am as this guy played in a beer league. And it's anything but a beer league. You know, we have players who are regularly signed by major league teams. Daniel Bick, who played in our infield last season, has an opportunity to join the Arizona Diamondbacks. There's many examples. Chris happens to be the guy, because he plays for our national baseball team, who has really accentuated the opportunity that these players have. And we're very proud of Chris and the work that he's doing for the Jays. And look what they did last year. There's Chris playing in the playoffs.
And you and baseball, David, what's the connection there?
I'm a fan, Pat. Well, a lot of people think I work for the team as a paid employee. A lot of people also think that I did this because I have a background in baseball, and I don't. I do have an uncle, my mom's brother, who works in professional baseball. He's president and CEO of the Nashville Sounds, their affiliate with the A's. But this is really about me being a fan of the game and wanting to have professional baseball. I've always approached our team and the opportunity for baseball going back almost 4 years now when I started this journey as a critical public service. And what I mean by that is any community that you live in should have good quality, affordable family entertainment. That's part of what living in a community is all about. It's not just about employment. It's not just about transit. It's not just about those critical things. People have to be doing things. They have to be engaged in their community, going out, enjoying arts, culture, and sports. So I've always approached the game of baseball very passionately. I believe it has a place in our community, and it starts with that ballpark. The city has invested millions of dollars into it over the years, 20 years now when it was first built for the Lynx. So why shouldn't we have a team? And that's always been my core DNA when I've approached the game.
And what about yourself, David, like your background and how does it tie into what you're doing now for the Champions?
Well, I'm Ottawa born and raised. My dad was in the Foreign Service. We lived in the Middle East and Europe twice when I was growing up. I developed a really good sense of myself and what it was like to be a Canadian when you live abroad and you're a teenager. And I'm embarrassed to say this is before the digital age. So it wasn't like I could just go online and look up baseball scores or baseball games as they were being played. I really developed a very close proximity to what government is all about. And that's really the core of our economy in Ottawa, the DNA of our city and our community. And it's much more than that, of course, but it is our number one employer. And so I joined the public service. I'm now in the private sector. And I really have that passion for both the public and private sectors in my career. And then applying all that to the community that I live in, raising a family now. And as I said, the opportunity that a baseball team presents to us as a city.
Now, for the most important question I'm going to ask you, Expos or Blue Jays?
Always an Expos fan. Always an Expos fan. You know, I it's like when I'm asked about hockey, you know, I was a sports fan when I was a kid, when we didn't have a hockey team, and of course we didn't have a baseball team. So my father, I remember him saying, well, son, we can go east or we can go west. And for reasons which I'm never still clear, we went east. So Expos, always Gary Carter, Tim Raines, Andre Dawson, Steve Rogers, Blue Monday, you name it, the 94 strike, all of that. Such great memories. And I'll tell you, Pat, it's amazing how many people still remember those days. The Expos brand, the Expos gear is still in fashion. And, you know, it's incredible to see it. And the movement that Mayor Coderre and other grassroots people in Montreal are leveraging, and they're doing very well. We're hearing very good things out of Montreal. They've talked to us in Ottawa about what we've done and what we're doing. There's some good lessons learned there. They're a natural market for us. So very proud to hopefully have some form of the Expos coming back.
So you've dated yourself with your comment about the digital age. I'll date myself with some comments about the Expos. So some of my fondest memories of childhood are going to games at Jerry Park with my brothers and my dad. I mean, it was such a great venue when you think about it. Tough to tell because you're a little kid. It seems so big, but it almost plays to the way a lot of the stadiums are now being built, that baseball stadiums are kind of intimate type surroundings. Is that a fair comment?
It is, absolutely. And when you talk to people about the history of the game, not only in Montreal or Toronto, but across Canada, and it doesn't always have to be about the major leagues, but let's just talk about that for a moment. Clemente, Robinson, they played in Montreal, across the country and the West Coast. Here in Ottawa, we had Satchel Paige. We've had Willie Mays here in the 50s play at Lansdowne Park in exhibition games. And of course, the history of the Lynx. It really is a game that is very much about community. And Montreal and Toronto, they resonate that day in and day out. And it's just great to see the growth of the game. And that's really another key business opportunity for us, is making that contribution, not only locally and regionally, but nationally as well.
So last year, you know, first year of the champions, I'm sure it was quite a process going from idea to actually playing on the field. Any lessons you want to share with our listeners, that maybe some things that came up that you didn't really expect on the business side of things that you had to deal with, and how did you overcome?
Sure. Yeah, I mean, there's lots of surprises. I mean, the hangover of baseball from the past, you know, it's not a state secret that there's a certain stigma. Then really in year one, Miles and I had a goal to break that stigma, to get rid of it as much as possible, to let the community know, whether it be the fans, whether it be businesses that were interested in sponsoring us. And we were very proud of the fact that we raised almost $700,000 in corporate sponsorships, even before we threw our first pitch or swung a bat. Lots of great support right off the bat. But it was obviously a huge challenge of having doors slammed in our face, going and talking about baseball and the hangover of past failures and getting over that. We're a very large city. We've got 1.4 million people in Ottawa, with Gatineau, of course, on the other side of the river. But we're also a very small community. And so people share information, they collaborate, they talk, and our reputation, even though it wasn't necessarily associated with the Ottawa Champions, our reputation as a baseball brand was obviously hampered to begin with. And I'm very happy that after 1 year, we've done a lot to kind of reduce that negative stigma. Doors aren't being slammed in the face. People are open to having a conversation. We're proactively being approached by local businesses who want to be part of that community message. And that's a message that I was very clear to define from day one, when Miles, the mayor, and I identified the team name, announced the 10-year lease with the city. I said it was always going to be a community team, investing in local business, supporting local charity. We are champions of our community. And that's something that we've been very loyal to and continue to be loyal as we move forward. And I think the surprise is that people appreciate that, the surprise for them. They appreciate hearing that. And I think they're a little surprised that this time, with the investments from the city of almost $2 million into the ballpark, coming in and seeing a brand new video scoreboard, seeing a team that has Hal Lanier as a manager who played with Willie Mays and Willie McCovey and Juan Marichal, icons of the game and who was the NL Manager of the Year, Sebastian Boucher, who grew up in Gatineau and is now raising a family in Orleans, having local beer, Le Cage au Sport, a concessionaire that's a regional name, a first-time investment outside the province of Quebec, and our naming rights partner, of course, Raymond Chabot, Grant Thornton, an international name with a local presence. These are all important elements that people really appreciate and see.
Now, David, you mentioned the name Miles a couple of times. Of course, I know who Miles is, but for those of our listeners that don't, can you just expand on that a little bit, please?
Sure, absolutely. Miles Wolf is our majority owner. He's commissioner of the Can-Am League, as well as the American Association League, our sister league that has a team from Winnipeg, Manitoba. Miles, speaking of icons, he's an icon in professional baseball. He's also a really cool guy to talk to. He's got a lot of great stories about the game. He's been in baseball for 40 plus years. He owned the Bulls when he got a phone call from Orion Pictures asking for permission to make the movie, Bull Durham. And as you can imagine, things took off for Miles from that point going forward. I mean, who wouldn't want to be involved in a movie with Kevin Costner and Susan Sarandon? On baseball, of course. So Miles spends a significant time in the nation's capital. He's not an owner that operates from a distance. He's involved in every aspect of our operation, and he's a great partner for me to have.
Now, you know, we started just a couple of minutes ago talking about some of the challenges you faced in your first year. Do you have a sense yet, David, as the challenges you may be facing for next season? And if so, what are they and how do you hope to address them?
We're in the luxury entertainment business. People have to want to spend money with us, and that's professional sports. That would be, you know, whether it be movies, arts and culture, we're luxury entertainment spending. We have to convince people to come to the ballpark because they're going to have an enjoyable and affordable experience. The quality of food is going to be good. The beer is going to be cold. There's going to be a good game played in front of them. The kids have things to do. The merchandise is affordable. The parking is affordable. The whole package. In year one, we were very, very particular to ensure that we built a strong reputation. And of course, leverage social media, leverage media, digital media, whatever you want to call it, to spread the word and have people talking us up, having champions in the community, as it were. That was year one. And of course, as I mentioned before, Pat, year one was also about trying to eliminate that stigma that, are we coming back? If I had another person ask me at the end of the season, oh, are you guys going to be back next year? Because, you know, in the past, we're not sure. It was time to move on. As I told a reporter, we need to change the channel on that conversation. Because years two, the second year is now about making sure year one was not the exception, that it was about building that business brand. I'm very sensitive of the fact that in year two, we have to accelerate that agenda and we have to show people that we're not just a one-year fad. We're not a one-year, you know, shot in the dark and, oh, it worked out. That was great. We sold 115,000 tickets. We have to be very, very careful to ensure all of our sponsors come back. We want to ensure that they're happy with the brand. They're happy with the direction of the team. We have to give them that hope for the future too, that their investment is long-term. We're building long-term relationships as a baseball club in the community. This is not about one-offs. This is not about come in for a year, hope for the best. We want to build those long-term relationships. We have an all-star game in 2017. In 2018, we will enjoy the best transit access for of any professional sports organization because we'll have light rail coming across the Queensway. I think it opens in March or April, just before our season. And then we have the Coventry Bridge connecting the LRT station right to the ballpark. We have these great narrative to tell the business community, charities, fans, community organizations, business improvement areas, you name it. And that's really a message we're getting out there. So year two is really about continuing to embed ourselves in the community and then really accelerating that agenda in years three, four, and five.
You've mentioned community and the fan base, David. I went to a number of games last year and I was surprised by the cross-section of fans that attended the Champions games. Were you surprised by that?
I was, Pat. And you know, we drew from all over the city. One of the other challenges we have is convincing that family of four to leave the comfort of their home and their backyard, their barbecue on a Saturday night or a Friday night and come downtown and enjoy a baseball game. We're a very suburban city. In fact, most Canadian cities are like that. They have large suburban areas. That's our biggest challenge in a way. And what I noticed was we drew a lot from across the river in Gatineau and in Elmer. We drew very well from the suburbs, particularly the East End. I think that's because of the proximity to the ballpark. We drew also a lot of younger fans who were looking for a fun night out prior to perhaps going to the Byward Market on an Elgin Street, coming to a game from 7 to about 9 o'clock, enjoying a few innings of baseball. Kitchissippi and Clock Tower are huge wins for us. They are local names, local businesses, supporting local jobs, but people genuinely love the beer. They love the fact that there are six different options. We just announced their renewal just before Christmas, so they're going to come back with an exclusive two-year deal. And so I think, you know, we have that cross-section because our marketing and our social media tries to target across the community. And we're a very diverse community. And that's our goal long term.
You mentioned, you know, one of your challenges is convincing the family of four to get off the couch and come out to a game. Mm-hmm. Years ago, I attended a sports marketing conference, and one of the keynote speakers was saying that for the future of sports, that's going to be the number one deterrent for people mm-hmm. to go to live events is that, you know, with HGTV and the convenience of home. You know, this was a number of years ago when I first heard this. Do you see that, you know, continuing to be a problem in the future, not just for the championship, but just for sports teams in general?
I do, Pat, and that is why we're very sensitive to branding ourselves as very grassroots. And I think grassroots is a very important term. We're $12 a ticket. We have festival seating. Our beer prices, our food prices are intended to be lower than other professional sports organizations. I also don't buy into the whole competition thing that we compete with the Red Blacks and the Fury and the Senators. I mean, we play a different season than the Senators. The Red Blacks play 8 or 9 games during season, and if we happen to be on the same night at the same time, well, guess what? We're a population, as I mentioned before, of over 1 million people. But we really wanted to brand ourselves as grassroots, come out with the family, get off the couch. You know, you don't have to watch TV all the time as a family to enjoy quality time together. You can come out to the ballpark, spend a couple of hours, kids can run around, hang out in the left field picnic area, and enjoy the outdoors. And that's really where the future of our marketing focus, and that's what we need to ramp up in the future years, is attracting that family grassroots base.
And you know, let's be honest, baseball is one of the may not be the only sport, but certainly a minority of sports as a spectator where you can sit and have a conversation with the person beside you and still enjoy the game.
Absolutely.
You and I can be having a beer together and waiting for the next pitch, and we can have a conversation, turn around, see what happened during the pitch, and then go back and continue that conversation. And you know, you go to other sports just don't have that same kind of laid back fan experience.
That's right. And you know, the other concept there is you and I can have a conversation. We'll hear the crack of the bat, or we'll be able to tell if there's an exciting play and turn our attention to it. Baseball is a very casual sport. And, you know, it's criticized often as, you know, being boring and all that kind of stuff. But for a particular audience, and let's be clear, there's a sport for every type of person. You can be right into the excitement of hockey and the slap shot from the blue line and goes in the net with a deflection and all that. There are people who love that. There are people who don't love that. Same with baseball. It's a very casual atmosphere. And, you know, one of the biggest challenges, of course, we had last year was something we have no control over, which is Mother Nature. And, you know, as long as the weather, we have good weather. On opening night last year in late May, it was +5 degrees outside. So we had a lot of very supportive, loyal fans coming to watch maybe the first 2-3 innings, but then they were leaving right away because it was just too cold. But when you have nice weather, baseball is a fantastic sport to enjoy. And that's why our price points are meant to be where they are so that we can attract that fan base.
As the Blue Jays, with the run that they went on this past year, did you see any spillover effect towards the end of last season? And do you see that carrying forward potentially into 2016?
I do, Pat. You know, that was such a un an unexpected surprise. I mean, who none of us in May or April would have said that by the end of this baseball season, the Toronto Blue Jays are going to go to the championship series and pull the kind of deals that they did. And when Donaldson came to the team in the offseason, that was the start of something that I don't think any of us could have predicted. It absolutely increased the interest for the Ottawa Champions because we are so close to Toronto. And I really, when I speak publicly, I say, look at what a great year 2015 was for baseball in Canada. We had the men's team win the Pan Am gold and the women competed for gold. We had the Toronto Blue Jays. We had a local talent, Demi Ori-Malloy, drafted professionally into the Milwaukee Brewer organization. Josh Naylor with Miami Marlins. Trois-Rivières-Aigle won the Can Am championship. We had a great first season. You had Quebec City profiled in the cover of the Globe and Mail for the work that they've been doing with Cuba and Cuban players. The Vancouver Canadiens, the Toronto A-ball team, had a very successful year. Across this country, people heard about baseball in mainstream media day in and day out over the course of those critical summer months. It couldn't have been any better, and we all benefit from that. Absolutely.
Now, David, your situation is pretty unique. You're the first entrepreneur that has been a part of this podcast that is not in the business full time. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot of appeal to a number of our listeners that may want to kind of dip their toe in, you know, trying a business but are not quite ready to, you know, to leave what they currently have. Can you maybe just get into that just sure. a little bit in terms of, you know, you've got a lot on your plate. How do you prioritize things and how do you work that out?
Well, it starts with what you often hear when you're an entrepreneur and you believe in those principles. It really begins with passion, Pat. I can't underscore that enough and taking risks. And it's not just the idea of taking risks because we all talk about that. It's taking the calculated risks and knowing which risks to take. It's easy to take risks, but you have to know what risks are worth taking and how to build a strategy around it. And when you have passion for a project and you believe in it and you have the capacity to bring people on board, understand a team's strengths and weaknesses, and how do you do your gap analysis, you understand I'm going to need XYZ, you bring the right people and resources on board, you build a business case that has that buy-in that you know will be bought into. And for me, it was that community. Before the Champions arrived, I had an organization called the Champions for Ottawa Baseball. And I had a lot of support from the city of Ottawa, from counselors, from the business community, from the charitable sector. And the business plan I had, Pat, from day one was have these organizations, these businesses, and these decision makers and influencers in our community buy into the concept of baseball. Then we're going to attract an ownership model. And we went through a few when we were looking at a Blue Jays AA team, and it's the buzz. It's industry buzz. Hey, something's going on in Ottawa that we may not have seen since the links were there. And that was exactly the kind of reputation I wanted us to deliver and brand. So for me, yeah, I have long days. I'm up late at night. My wife and I have a beautiful new daughter. So she may keep me up a couple of late nights and I'm on email. I'm starting to plan for the All-Star Game in 2017 now. I'm putting together a special community organizing committee that will help me over the next 18 months plan and brand the All-Star Game. So it's community. And when you believe in something and you love it, you're just totally driven. And that's really my story.
So David, what advice would you give to our listeners that are currently working full-time, that, you know, have this business idea and they may be hesitant to go full-time into their business idea and just want to, you know, just test the waters? What advice would you give them?
I would give them the advice of really look at mentoring, look at the idea of finding somebody that, and inspiration. Mentorship and inspiration are often interlinked together, and it's absolutely right. You want to find that individual or individuals that you can seek that counsel from, give you some good ideas, and give you the confidence to take the risks that I've spoken about. And my advice also would be, know your limitations. Don't take on too much. It's really important to understand that projects like this are long-term. You don't have to boil the ocean all at once. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to have setbacks. They happen all the time. They happen to me in baseball all the time. But that's okay because I learn from it and I move forward as a result of it. So my advice is all those things. Have the inspiration that will guide you. Understand the art of the possible. Build your capacity around that and don't be afraid of taking risks and have that confidence.
David, I'm just reflecting what we've talked about so far, and you've mentioned the word community a fair amount in this interview and how you want the champions to be involved in the community. Why is that so key for your key part of your strategy?
Because it's really, it's at the core of who we are as a community, Pat. And, you know, I'm so proud of the work that we've done as a team. For example, our official charity is the Miracle League of Ottawa, where we have established Canada's second fully accessible recreation zone. It is a baseball field, but it's much more than that. It's a clubhouse where the special needs kids actually can go into a canteen and make the food themselves. It's not meant to be something that they just go to the counter and are served. They actually can go in. The kitchen is specially designed, and it's a completely safe zone for them. A playground that has a cork structure, a baseball field that has the rubberized surface to minimize harm, dugout benches that are broken up so that a child in a wheelchair doesn't have to sit at the ends of the bench. They can actually sit with their friends because there are open sections in between. So, and expanded dugouts and all kinds of stuff. This is their area. This is for them to make them feel just as equal as anybody else and enjoying the game of baseball. We supported over 50 charities last year coming through the ballpark, raising awareness, raising money, whatever it may be. We're very proud of those partnerships and relationships, and that's something we want to continue. When people walk into that ballpark, I want them to feel they're at home. And because we're such a small community, they often do. Let's go back to Miles and Bull Durham. The nuance I gleaned from that ballpark was like a community center. And that's exactly the type of model I want to have here in Ottawa.
You mentioned the Miracle League, David. I know you're involved in that on a personal level as well. Is that correct?
Yes, I was approached by a family in Orleans. They asked if this was possible, if something of this nature was possible. So I took on that project, partnered with Rotary in Orleans, and I act as the president of the Miracle League of Ottawa.
It must be very gratifying to not only to give back, but to be able to give back in such a way that you can see the results.
It is, Pat. It was such a proud moment for me last August when we opened. You know, it's a $1.6 million project, 50% funding from the City of Ottawa, a donation of land. I mean, the City of Ottawa is my most important partner on both the Champions and the Miracle League. It's been such a pleasure to work with the mayor, councillors, and staff on both projects. We are a tenant of the City of Ottawa at the ballpark at our CGT Park, so we work with them on a regular basis. Grounds crew, they were recognized this year. We have the best ballpark in 2015 among Can-Am League teams. So all around, it was so gratifying to work with the city. But in the Miracle League context, to see these kids enjoy the game of baseball and feel that they're equal participants and players, to cut a ribbon. Jay's Care donated $210,000. We had a lot of other local community groups giving us money. It was not only gratifying and satisfying, but it's just a wonderful thing to build our community.
That's a great way to close out, David. Before we let you go, though, where can listeners find out more about the Ottawa Champions?
Absolutely. So as I mentioned, we have our website, ottawachampions.com. We're located just off Coventry by the Queensway. Drop in and see us anytime. We're open in the off season during normal working hours. Pick up some merchandise. We're partnered with a batting cage complex in Caledar, just in the south end of the city. And that's another really great opportunity to learn more about us. Drop in, swing some bats, hit some balls, and learn about the Ottawa Champions.
I know how busy you are, David. I really appreciate your time. Thanks very much for doing this.
Thanks for having me, Pat. Really appreciate it.
Thanks.
If your company or organization is looking to improve your marketing, go to the Extension Marketing website at extmarketing.ca and download the free ebook, 7 Steps to Marketing Success.